Okay. So in this in that first paragraph, the Buddha is now describing the disciple, the structure of the actual disciple. So the follower of the Noble Path is the student of Shakyamuni Buddha. And he says they're free of wanting. And let's talk about that for a moment, because I think there's a tremendous amount of confusion of what that phrase free of wanting means. How many of you, when you go to the supermarket to buy your groceries, you want a specific brand? Yeah? You say you look for a specific brand of an item you want? Or how many of you want a specific item? Right? So, I mean, we don't go into the store and put on a blindfold and just start throwing things into the cart. And once it feels like it's weighted enough, we go check out. We tend to have very specific things we're wanting. There are meals that we want to make. There are things that we like to eat. Oh, I want to eat this week. Maybe the same thing goes for outfits. So when you go to work, if you have to dress up in a specific type of clothing, whether you work in an office and you need to have professional clothing on or something, we decide what we want to wear for the day. Oh, I think this shirt and this tie will look very nice. Or this coat with this top, right? Or you try to match the skirt and the shirt or slacks, whatever it is that you're wearing. What kind of robe will look good with with this color dhoti or lungi? No, we don't do that. That's not true. Don't dress your Dharma clothing like that. But we have these wants. The Dharma's not talking about any of those. That is not the wanting that we are discussing at all. I want to have dessert, or I want to watch this show, or I want to go to this place or do this thing. That's not at all what this means. And that's what confuses people. They think that they're supposed to become this kind of brain-dead vegetable that walks around, and whenever they get this idea, oh, I want that. Oh, I'm not supposed to want. That's not at all what we're talking about. The phrase free from wanting is in relationship to a dharmic ideal called sattva. The sattva ideal is one of three different how do we say that? Three different mentalities, I guess. Sattvic being a holy one, and the other two being much lower. Greedy, and then the other one being completely ignorant or stupid. The sattvic ideal pertains to, and what he's talking about right here, the person who is a follower of the Noble Path is free of wanting. In other words, the follower of the path is sattvic. Okay, what is sattvic? It means they are not attached to the outcome of their activities. That's the wanting. When we set out to do something, I'm going to accomplish this goal. If it does not turn out the way that you want, this free of wanting is referring to that. We let go of the outcome. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bake this cake. But if the cake doesn't turn out, it doesn't turn out. if the cake does turn out, it turned out. I'm going to set my timer for 45 minutes, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do a meditation. And if the meditation completely blows, the meditation completely blows. If I feel like I'm getting some grand insight and my meditation is very positive and good, my meditation is positive and good. I'm going to attempt to study this sutra, this text. And at the end of studying it, you go, wow, the whole thing went over my head. I didn't get anything out of that. That's fine. The attachment to result is what gets us in a load of hurt. Lots. When we are working towards a goal, this freedom from wanting is that you let go of the result of your work. So, I'm going to make this beautiful candlelight meal. And they're going to come, and it's going to be a wonderful dinner. And then you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you decide to finish the bottle of wine yourself, and go to bed. You blow out the candles, you climb into the bed, they never called, never showed up. Not a problem if you are free from attachment to the outcome. In the beginning, we certainly were in the activity because we wanted to make a nice meal. There's nothing wrong with that want. That's actually aspirational. I would like to accomplish this thing, so I am going to do the activity to attempt to accomplish this, but I will not be attached to the outcome of my activity. That is a sattvic mentality. Sattvic's not a real word. The word is actually sattva, but I'm using the IC on there as in the... Well, Saren can explain it because I don't know how to explain the workings of English. Anyhow, when we look at the word bodhisattva, sattva means a being, but a very specific being. It means a sattvic one. It means a being that is free from attachment or aversion to the outcome of activity. And then when you add bodhi, it's an enlightened being that is not attached to any outcomes, positive or negative. It does not mean that they become a brain-dead vegetable and they have no aspiration. I'm going to take this job, and if I get wealthy doing it, that's great. If I don't, that's great too. So it becomes, I'm going to do this job. The aspiration is, whatever benefit arises from it, I share with others. If no benefit arises from it, then I learned a great deal of either discipline or a skill or whatever it was in trying to accomplish it. But the outcome has nothing to do with it. In fact, to stress this point even more, it is taught that the outcome is actually not yours. No outcome to any activity belongs to an individual. And why is this? Because if it did, then all action and activity that had a result that belonged to the individual would make that individual the source, deliverer, and explainer of all things. And since we are not the Buddha, we are not God, well, I should say, we have not realized that state. Our activity arises from the thoughts and desires of the petty tyrant ego. True arisings coming from that which is enlightened has no care of the outcome. So there's the age-old argument to combat against spirituality or religion. And that is, well, if any of these things, God or Buddha or Bodhisattvas or whatever is out there, messiahs, if any of those things truly exist, why is there evil in the world? And Buddha's response is, because you created it out of your ignorance. But since you have no clear recollection that you created any of this, you're lost in your own confusion and doubt. Thus, it appears that the world is such. And you don't like it because you are attached to the outcomes of your activity. And when they don't match up to what you want, you suffer. So the teaching is this. Instead of claiming outcomes in any fashion, we say they do not belong to our petty tyrant self. So who do they belong to? Anyone? Nagpas? Shame on you. It belongs to the Divine Presence. It belongs to the Gurus. It belongs to that which is enlightened. Now, in our offerings, we say, I offer taste, touch, sight, sound, all of those things. I'm offering the tongue, my eyes, my ears. We're offering all of those senses and the sense objects. Why are we offering those things? Because they are all gifts to us. So when we engage in an activity, the activity is ours. That activity is specifically called karmic activity. But the result is not ours. The result comes either as a blessing, or it comes as a blessing. How so? Because if it is better for you spiritually to have this thing, then you get it. If it's better for you to spiritually not have that thing, you don't get it. And due to our clouded view, we cannot perceive that because we are attached to wanting a specific outcome. And like my four-year-old, we get very upset when it doesn't happen. Yesterday we were at our second home, which is called Menards, and is a group family outing this time. The whole lot of us from the ashram went. And as we're there getting all kinds of different supplies and crazy things, Ennio finds a fire truck. Because as great as Menards is, they also have a whole section for kids. So he finds this big fire truck. And he's like super into fire trucks and firemen and all of that. We take him to all the open houses and everything. And so he's now attached to the idea that he shows us this and he gets to go home with it. And if he asks the right way, the result is he gets to have it. Well, he didn't. And if anyone has had a four-year-old or been around a four-year-old, when they don't get the thing that they are attached to, they do not get the outcome they want, it's quite difficult. But we are not any way different whatsoever. Our disappointment is shown in a more refined way, like cursing, throwing things, walking out on the job, firing our companion, throwing something through a window.
So refined.
So refined. It's rare that we call an adult somebody having a tantrum. We say they're very upset. So it becomes refined because we're older. But in reality, it looks exactly the same. Some of us may be good at hiding it, but it's still an inner tantrum. This comes from getting what we don't want and not getting what we do want. As a result of our activity, that is the meaning of this free of wanting. The free of harming grows from that very thing. When we work towards a specific goal, and we are attached to that goal, growing out of this wanting is a thing called greed. Greed is the wanting part. But greed very quickly turns into, when we're not getting what we are wanting, turns into this thing called aggression. Aggression comes out of ignorance. So here's what happens. I want this outcome. The outcome doesn't happen the way we want. Instead of recognizing that we do not own the outcomes, because if we did, we're now liberated. But if we demand that outcome be the way we want, and when it doesn't, we look for those that are at fault, which we may even point our finger at the divine. We may point our finger at the cosmic forces out there. We may point our finger at the nearest politician, the nearest coworker. Or management, because management never knows what they're doing. So we blame management. We blame everything except for our own self. This state is called stupidity. And stupidity has always in it aggression and harm. Stupidity is never done without aggression and harm. Always. An ignorant state is not a ignorant as in, oh, well, I just didn't know that you couldn't park here. That's not the kind of ignorance that we're talking about. We're talking about an ignorance where we behave in a way that does not abide with the laws of reality. That's ignorance. And because we're not abiding according to the laws of nature, we become aggressive. And we harm through either physical action, we can harm through our speech, or even worse of the three, we harm with our thoughts. We churn this negative story. And the Buddha says, look, they don't have this free, they don't have this wanting a specific outcome. They're free from this. Because of that, they don't do any harm. They're free of harming because they are not in a delusive state. And he says, and they're without confusion. How many of you have done something and you go, I don't know why that didn't turn out? Or my favorite is when things are not going well with a companion and you scheme this big plan. Oh, I'm going to do this thing and they're going to react like this and it's all going to be great. How many of you have ever done that and it completely backfires on you? Does that ever happen? Does that ever happen to you? Where you do that? You invite them into the house and you think, oh, this is going to be really great. We're going to like sit down and have a nice meal. And they just go into the bathroom and don't come out for 4 hours. They're banging around in there. Then they come out and they're jumping up and down on your couch and on your bed. And you're like, oh, this is a new game. And they're like, not for you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not having anything to do with you. Has that ever happened to you? And we're completely confused on what's going on here. Why is this happening? That's like one of those catchphrases. Why is this happening? You see, all three of those things are connected to just that one area. All those things happen when we are not sattvic. When we are sattvic, we're not concerned about the outcome of our action. We just learn whatever happens. If it turns out well, we count that as, oh, the gurus have blessed us. That's what the scriptures tell us to do. That's a blessing from the Buddhas. It's a blessing from the gurus. Shakyamuni says, that's when Vishnu, literally, he says, that's when Vishnu pours blessings out upon you. That's in First Turning Sutra. We look at it from that point of view, so we can't own it. When it fails, we study. If it's a scientific thing, we can look at why it didn't work. Why did this recipe not turn out? And it gives us the opportunity to look at if we're clinging or not. If it got out of control, we probably harmed either ourselves or others with a negative thought, a negative word, or a negative activity. So we catch that and we go, wow, look what happens when you're not sattvic. And if it goes even further than that, then you have this total state of confusion. Which here is, why didn't God help me? I don't understand why any of this is happening. Well, now you're in a total confused state, not sattvic at all. So think about those principles. And as you go through everything this week, of course you always should think, just like the Transforming the Mind worksheet tells us, when something fails, we own the failure. But when something really works out, that's a blessing that we share with others. That should be the mentality. And it all comes down to, am I attached to the outcome of my activity? Am I thinking that my action is mine and I will reap the reward? If so, think on this. Because this is what the sutras always mean when it says free from desire, free from wanting. There's nothing wrong with wanting or desiring a specific kind of car when you have to buy a new car. That's not what we're talking about. Well, I guess we didn't even get past the first line. That's all right. That kind of thing happens. There's a lot, you know, loaded in these sutras. In my own personal study, I'm working on this text where I get one line of the sutra, and then I get like 2.5 pages of commentary. It's like, wow. Really heavy stuff, because you can just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what I love about this. I still don't even know anything about Dharma. It's amazing. And if I have that ignorant thought that, oh, well, see, I'm a teacher, I know all this stuff, then all I have to do is just open that book, and the first line is, yeah, I don't know anything. Nothing. Think the earth that there are Dharma teachers passing this stuff down to generation so that I too may receive it. All right, let's go into meditation. We tend to run out of time for these things.